knows. Yeah, but it needs to know what it's coming out of.
Yeah. It is kind of like
the rails out of
here. Yeah, but they, it makes them rush, you know, and walk to the edge of town
and go across the track where the viaduct looms like a bird of doom as it shifts and cracks, where secrets lie in the border fires and the humming wires. Yeah, man, you know you're never coming back. On a gathering storm comes a tall, handsome man in a dusty black coat with a red right hand.
Hey everybody, welcome to Scaredy Cats, our horror show. I'm one of your co-hosts, Daniel Hummer. I'm here with my sister.
Hello guys. I'm calling for you because it's Halloween time. So right now we're going to do the ka-ka-ka-ka, and we're going to switch it back up and do a hootie-hoo again. Because you guys are not giving me any feedback on what to do. So, therefore, that's going to happen. Daniel, would you like to do plugs now?
Yeah. Make sure to check out the Dirt Sheet Dudes Wednesday and Friday for the wrestling show after AEW and for their Hollywood Hangout movie review after SmackDown at 10 o'clock, and make sure to check us out at 6:30 p.m. on Fridays for Unscripted Wrestling, and on Saturdays for Unscripted Unlimited, and Sundays here either around this time or 3 for Scaredy Cats. And let's get into it.
All right, 13 Ghosts, 2001. Daniel, this is the movie that you watched when you were really little. It actually came out when I was 11, so I actually watched when I was 12. And me and Daniel are about like 7.5 years apart, so he was really tiny.
Yeah.
But Daniel had a very big habit of wanting to watch what I watched.
Yeah. And I like Matthew Lillard.
And he, I was just going to say that, and he loves Matthew Lillard. So I couldn't stop him from watching this. I will tell you guys right now, this, it doesn't have as much of an effect on me now, but when I was younger and I watched this movie, it scared the living daylights out of me.
Yeah.
And as you can ask my co-host right here, that doesn't happen.
No, not much.
Very often. If you get a movie that's going to shock and scare the crap out of me, good for you.
Yeah, and this is an interesting one because it kind of gets pushed under the radar with a lot of the other horror movies in that generation.
Absolutely, because you got to remember Ghost Ship came out right around the same time.
Yeah, and you had The Fog and The Mist eventually later on, but you had a bunch of... Ghost Ship was very prevalent around then, and this wasn't the biggest one. Like you said, kind of when we were talking about it, Mindy, it was a flop.
Yeah.
Critically and financially, because they spent $42 million on it, only made $68 back, so they ended up, with marketing and advertising and everything, they lost money.
Yeah, they probably didn't really make a profit, honestly.
And the movie, just people shit on it. They didn't like it. I thought it was okay. Watching it back, I thought there was a lot to get out of it. I mean, we're going to delve into it.
Mm-hmm.
One thing I want to ask you, Tony Shalhoub is an interesting actor. I don't know if he's done a whole lot of horror, but...
No, this is actually his first and only horror movie.
Okay. So, I mean, a lot of people, he's got a cult following with Monk. A lot of people love that show. What did you think about him as the kind of main lead here?
I didn't like it, honestly. I mean, in the beginning, that's the part I didn't like.
Yeah.
Because, like, they were trying to show him happy and whatnot with his family and everything, but it just seems so fake.
Yeah.
It really did. It just seems like he was staring at a window at someone he didn't even know. So I didn't really like it at him at first. Once shit went down and he was kind of Matthew's sidekick, then I was okay with it. It was kind of funny. But other than that, I mean, I would give his acting in this about 4.5.
Yeah.
It wasn't really good. But honestly, like we've said here before, in Scaredy Cats, you got to think about the script as well.
Yeah.
You don't know what they're being told to say and how they're being told to say it. So you may hate it, but it should just be a directorial decision.
Yeah, but it's also, it's not like, it doesn't feel like our other movies that we've done with very thin written scripts and very basic horror movie. This one felt like they tried to put a lot of story into it, especially with the ghosts and the backstories and shit and the shit with Cyrus. And
I think, Daniel, that's where they failed a little bit.
Yeah, it was very plot heavy.
I think, exactly. And there was way too many loopholes.
Yeah.
And that they didn't think about and they didn't close up.
Yeah. And sometimes in these things, you just want to see people get fucked up and a cool
exactly.
little thing to bring
I mean,
it together.
I mean, it was fun.
Yeah.
I will have to say, some of the kills, we'll get into it in a minute. Some of the kills were amazing.
Yeah.
The ghost, oh my God. For how, when it came out and shit, I'm going to give right now the creative director and the makeup effects person a big, huge clap. Because I don't know how they did it, but they were scary.
Who's your favorite ghost?
My favorite Zodiac ghost had to be the withered lover.
The chick with the tits?
No, that's the bound woman.
Okay. The withered lover, where does she show up?
She is actually Tony Shalhoub and the kid's mom.
Yes, yes. Which is the whole backstory. I mean, that's sort of the plot and the ending and the closure, I did not have a problem with.
No.
I was kind of cool with that. It was cool how it brought it all together. I thought the acting was fine. I actually thought Tony Shalhoub at the end did it fine. I mean,
well, that's what I said. Like, he started out weak. And
yeah,
strong.
I mean, because the little thing, but also, like, the writing, because it does go on the writing, too. Like, that scene with Matthew Lillard, it turns out he's the bad guy, and he punches him in the face, and he's like, hey, you bastard. Like, it doesn't really translate because it's not that good. Like,
yeah.
It's not really their fault. It's just, like, a shitty written piece of dialogue that they got to do, and he's got to punch him in the face, and it just doesn't work.
Yeah.
But the little, like, the scenes that are good and kind of, like, thought out like that, he did a good job.
Yeah, absolutely. I will have to give you that, especially when he found out that he was going to be the 13th ghost and that his uncle had pretended to get killed.
Yeah.
But it was all just a thing. Because you had to remember, too, the dying mother, that is the kid's mom.
Yeah, that's his wife.
Cyrus abducted her spirit and put her in one of those cubes.
Yeah. It went from kind of a ghost movie to a murder mystery very quick.
That's awful, though.
Yeah.
I mean, that's horrible. Like, not only did his wife die and he had to go through all this shit, but then he gets put in a house and his wife's in the fucking basement?
Yeah.
Because I will tell you guys, one thing that I did that Daniel didn't do was I watched it with the subtitles, and the ghost actually speaks. And when, like, Bobby, is that his name, Bobby?
Yeah.
When Bobby is exploring the house and everything, you see in the subtitles, it says mother, and then it says, Bobby, turn around.
Yeah.
Don't go down here. And I thought that was really cool. And then the bound woman that had the titties and shit, like, she was always saying, I'm so sorry, I don't mean to do this.
Yeah. And it adds another dimension to the movie, if you, like, and it gives it replay value, if you think
exactly.
You watch it again.
And it's kind of like going back into something with commentary.
Guys. Yeah.
A little bit.
You get a little extra.
Exactly. You get a little sprinkle of how bad the ghost actually was.
Some of the shit I did not like and that was stupid, the kids and even him, Tony Shalhoub, you're way too excited about a house that looks fucking crazy. Like,
exactly.
It has no rooms. It has, and they're like, oh, it's beautiful. Like, I get it. It's cool.
No,
but yeah, like, why would you ever want to live there? They alluded to it a little bit, but they were, like, still kind of deciding on the rooms and shit and, like, oh, this would be cool. Like, I don't sell it. I don't want to fucking live there.
Well, that's the thing, though. The daughter and Tony Shalhoub made a point in the beginning, and it was very subtle hint, but it was kind of a hint that they were going to move in and then sell everything.
Yeah.
Because how expensive everything was going to be.
But they were way too excited about the house.
They were.
Bobby
is completely understandable.
He's a little kid.
So, yeah. He don't know what he's doing. I mean, as far as the nanny goes, she has to go chase after his ass.
Yeah.
I've been a nanny for years, guys. If you don't chase after the kid, you're telling me.
She was funny in her own right, too.
I loved her at the end when she's like, Maggie, don't do ghosts. I'm done.
Yeah. I like how, like, even though there was a good amount of kills and they were cool, there wasn't too many. And, like, a lot
there
of the
really
main cast
wasn't.
Stayed alive. Like, the whole family was alive. The babysitter, which was kind of crazy. That she
and
survived.
I think that's why people didn't like it that much, honestly. I don't know if you agree with me on that. I think that may be why people think it fell flat. Because of the fact that there wasn't much, like, death action.
Yeah. But I think what we got was fucking cool. Like, I mean, we got to talk about the guy. He's obviously my top kill.
Oh, God, here we go.
The greasy lawyer that got him in. And he's a piece. And he didn't like Matthew Lillard. He was just there to make money.
He taunted the ghost. You don't taunt ghosts.
He taunted the ghost. He acted like a dick, and then it was accidental, right? When he fucking hit the lever, and the chick came out with the tits.
Yeah, he didn't mean to do that.
Yeah, and then he's apologizing and shit, but it's a little too late. And she walks up into the door, and it closes. And this dude just splits in fucking half, and you can see half his brain, and he slides down. And for something that could look very corny. The special effects team deserves a round of applause because it was very well done.
So I'm saying the special effects team for this movie did a great job.
Yeah, production design and special effects definitely made this movie.
Yeah.
Because in the atmosphere and the obviously the house itself was cool, and that's what made it cool. But also the...
Like the chambers downstairs.
Yeah.
Were crazy.
Yeah, the way the house was built and also the makeup design on the ghosts and shit was very well done.
Yeah.
It kind of... It was a movie that was a little more spectacle than substance, it felt like.
I agree. I really do. I think at the end of the day, they thought more about creating a visual spectacle than creating a story.
Yeah, because even the editing, I'm not a huge fan of the editing in this movie because it's all fucking in your face, poppy, like in fucking everything happened at once.
It got a lot of what we like to call eye shot.
Yeah.
And if it's one thing me and Daniel hate, it's an eye shot.
Yeah, it's very acid trippy and it's too much. And I kind of like horror works because of a slow pace.
Yeah.
You know, and slow can work in horror because it's creepy and build up. This is very
absolutely.
In your face all at the same time. A lot of shit happens.
Yeah, this
was
just overwhelming.
Yeah.
I think that's why I got scared of it, honestly.
Yeah.
Because it's just like one after another.
Yeah. It works for Matthew Lillard because that's kind of him. Like, that's his mind and his, like, you expect him to be like a fucking all over the place dude. So he works in this movie. But that's why, like, Tony Shalhoub kind of doesn't, because you see him as, like, a mainly, I could see him in a slow ghost horror movie, but that's not what this is.
No,
this is very
in
your face. Yeah. All over the place fireworks. Which can be cool, and that's why some of the scenes are badass, and I would not say it's a bad movie, but sometimes it can be a bit too much.
Exactly. I think they tried to cram too much in a short amount of time.
Yeah.
If anything, they should have, like, and I hate sequels, guys, you know this, but if anything, they should have put it in two parts.
Yeah.
In my personal opinion, I think it would have done better.
Yeah. It would have made sense, or like an episodic show, but I don't know if... Because
I mean,
it was too much money, so I don't
exactly.
know if
they
do it
they,
like that. But.
They did what they needed to do and whatnot. But even spending that much amount of money, like, that's crazy.
Yeah.
That is insane. That's probably one of the highest budgets that me and you have talked about so far.
Oh, yeah. I mean, like, even these big movies that make $100 million, like Michael Myers, it takes like $15 million, $10 million to get those done. Like,
exactly.
And that's still a lot of money, but it's like for horror is one of those budgets that even though the gory and the kills can get expensive with CGI and sometimes, it's not like a superhero or an action movie that's going to cost $100 million to make. It can be a 20 or 10, $5 million movie and still
exactly.
make a lot
especially
of money.
Especially when you have like a really skilled, creative design team and makeup team and whatnot, because depending on their skills and what they can do, like look look at fucking old pictures of Reagan from The Exorcist.
Yeah.
Side by side with her. Like, they, all they did was plaster her face and stuff. Like, they just did makeup. That's amazing.
Yeah. I mean, hell, some of these fan-made YouTube $5 movies are fucking great. You know,
yeah.
Like The Walk in the Snow and shit.
Well, that was free.
Free, but yeah, but you know what I mean, like
yeah.
A cheap independent movie, like some of them, because they have such good creative people that can make cool designs
and
it looks
good. I
think
that's what Hollywood is missing.
Yeah, because they try to go the more CGI expensive, let's pump money into it, we'll get it back approach.
Yeah, and they're running out of ideas again. They started to get a few ideas, and I was cool with it. They're starting to get a few fresh ones, but
yeah.
Now they're just, it's not happening.
Well, because it was the same thing, and I would relate this a little bit to The Haunting that we talked about a few weeks ago. This is, to me, this is a fast-paced haunting, but a little
yeah.
better. And to me, this is just way too fast-paced, and The Haunting is just way too slow. But it's also, like, an okay premise with a big budget, like a lot of CGI and
bullshit. I feel like The Haunting, though, gave us more of character background
yeah.
than this one.
That's
did.
What made it boring, though.
It is what made it boring, and they did fail on that. They
yeah.
should have made it a little bit more exciting, like do flashbacks
yeah.
or something like that.
This one was edited a little more exciting. They tried to make it pop and a little more like, who? And that one was a little more slow-paced and boring.
Yeah. No, guys, if you've never seen 13 Ghosts and whatnot, I'm not going to say not to watch it because it's an amazing movie, but I am going to put a warning up that Daniel will agree with, which is, if you have a seizure disorder, do not watch this movie.
Yeah, because that goes back to the editing and stuff. It's just very poppy.
There's a lot of popping. There's a lot of strobe.
Yeah.
Just don't.
Different colors.
Exactly.
Lights.
Just don't do it to yourself.
Yeah. Well, but I don't have that shit. I was still, like, getting a headache watching.
Exactly. Like, me and Daniel don't have those kind of things, and, like, he got a headache, and I got a headache. So
yeah.
I can only imagine somebody with that condition. So if you happen to have a seizure condition and you really, really want to see it, talk to your doctor first, at least.
Yeah.
And then do what he says. But don't go out and watch it just because of what we're saying, because we don't want anyone to get hurt.
Yeah. I agree. As far as scariness, I didn't think it was too scary. I know you got, like, scared when you were a kid, but, like, watching
exactly.
it as an
like,
adult
watching
now,
it again, it didn't really scare
yeah,
me.
I didn't find it that freaky.
I found it funny.
Yeah. I mean, some of the ghosts looked like the Jackal was like, holy shit. Like,
yeah, the Jackal was a scary dude,
yeah.
man. I mean, he was meant to be scary, but he was scary.
Yeah.
But, the mother and the child or whatever, like, they were ugly.
Yeah.
I don't like them. They weren't scary.
Like the Juggernaut, the stuff with like the spikes going out of his head. Like that's not really that scary. It's kind of cool looking, but it's like not like,
Yeah.
So when Matthew Lillard dies at the end, like it was just like, it was more of a hero action movie death to me. It was like, it's been a while since I've been able to like myself. And then he kind of walks away and he like sacrifices himself and Tony Shalhoub's like, no. And it's like cool, but it didn't feel like a horror movie. Like he's getting picked off, you know?
And then the fact that they brought him immediately back as the ghost, that's so fucking corny.
Yeah.
I'm sorry. That is the corniest of corny. Come on.
They basically, and this kid was just like a low-level helper to Cyrus. So it was kind of just like they knew Matthew Lillard was the best actor in the movie, so they upped the role a lot more than it should have been.
I know, but they literally killed him off, and then 5 seconds later, he's a ghost helping
yeah.
him. And it's like, what the? Come on.
Yeah.
Like, at least give you some time. I thought the wife would have helped him more. Because
yeah.
she did speak to him a little bit. But I thought she would have been a big part of it.
It would have made sense, for sure.
It would have made a lot of sense, except for him. I mean, Matthew Lillard's character just met them.
Yeah.
I mean, it made no sense for him to sacrifice himself.
Exactly.
But, I mean...
It made him look like a good guy.
It made
him
look like
so.
A good guy. He
Hero.
Rarely ever is a good guy in scary movies. He's done Scream, The Curb, Dead Man on Campus, all of those movies. He's a bad guy.
Yeah, he's the villain.
So normally when you get to horror, thriller, mystery, whatever, and you have him in it, he's the bad guy. So this is a little refreshing.
Yeah, they still made him sleazy, but they kind of gave him the hero sacrifice at the end.
Exactly. They made him, stupidly like that.
Yeah.
You know, I think it was because they wanted him to believe that Cyrus was doing something good.
Yeah, and to me it was still Matthew Lillard being Matthew Lillard. Like, I didn't feel like he was playing a role. Even when he was funny.
Especially when he's down in the basement, he's got the glasses on.
Yeah.
And he's like, whoa, don't touch me.
Yeah. Or when he's yelling about Cyrus, like, he owed me money. He owed me a shitload of money. And he's, like, screaming, and he's, like, being funny. It's like, that's just Matthew Lillard fucking around.
Yeah.
But I did think he did a good job in the role. I thought for what they did, I mean, I know it's Shannon Elizabeth. She tried her best. I think it wasn't really a Scream Queen role. She was just kind of,
the daughter. She was just there. She was just the daughter.
And she got abducted, and they found her at the end, and they had the big hugs, and it was cool, but...
But she was just the daughter. I mean,
yeah.
The coolest scene, though, with her was when, now, she's coming from an apartment where they only have one bathroom. And now they're in a mansion with several bathrooms. So she gets really excited and walks up to the tub and starts rinsing her face. What she doesn't realize is that the bound woman, the woman who's cut up and freaky, was in the tub. And the tub was actually full of blood. But Shannon Elizabeth couldn't see the blood because she didn't have the goggles on. So she threw water on her face a couple different times, and then the water turned into blood, and she put it on her face, and I've never seen that girl look so shocked. She was so scared. So I liked her in that part. And then the other part that I liked her in was when the jackal got her by the hair.
Yeah.
And ran away with
creepy.
Her.
Yeah.
That was really, really creepy. I didn't think she was going to survive by the way they were holding her.
Yeah.
And shit, I thought she was going to end up getting split in two.
The dad was kind of watching it, but he couldn't see the ghost doing it. He just saw her, like, floating.
Yeah.
That shit was nuts.
It really was. So... I'll give it to those scenes. She did really good.
Yeah.
But those are the only two scenes that she was really had a part in, honestly,
yeah.
That she had, like, a speaking role.
Besides that, it was just kind of the quest to find her. And that's, like, her bigger purpose in the movie, that she got abducted and it's like, we got to find her now.
And at first, they didn't even know she was abducted. They were looking for her brother.
Yeah.
And then they're like, wait a minute, where is she?
Yeah. So, I mean, it was a good movie. I think I would give it 5 ghosts out of 13, probably.
Here's the thing.
5 out of 10.
I love the movie just because of the nostalgia factor.
Yeah.
And how scary it was to me as a kid. But if I had to grade it now, which I'm assuming, based on what I just saw and everything, I gotta give it a 5.
Damn.
I mean, it. Don't get me wrong. It's a really good movie. It really is. But it there's too much in it. They are the definition of overpacking.
Yeah, I agree.
Unfortunately. And sometimes that works every once in a while.
Yeah, but it was too much. It was
exactly.
Plot heavy. They tried too much with the editing. The
and
story
was
too much.
Many loopholes.
Yeah.
Like, there's too many open ends.
Yeah.
Too many unlocked questions and everything.
And the fact that it was a ghost movie and it was a real, like, alive dude just kind of playing from the shadows the whole time kind of made it corny. It was like, it was okay, but the story didn't have
like
a great
hidden
tale.
Lover and everything.
Yeah.
Like, that was so corny.
Yeah, and Cyrus, like, he the guy's a good actor, but it wasn't like...
It wasn't a good role for him.
No. So, yeah, I thought it was mediocre, but it's a cool... I think every horror fan should watch it once just to see it, because it's like a spectacle. But.
Exactly. It really is, and it is... coming to be a cult classic.
Yeah.
Which a lot of box office failures do.
Yeah.
So, like we said before, As long as you don't have a medical condition or anything, go ahead and watch it.
Yeah. And by the way, a lot of critical failures, too, because fans and critics are two different things.
Exactly.
Especially in horror. The fans and the critics rarely get along.
And the fans actually really like 13 Ghosts.
Yeah.
From what I've seen. Like on my horror pages and everything, everyone's always talking about it.
Yeah.
So, and also, guys, we're going to end up getting into the Zodiac Killers one by one eventually because Netflix is going to be coming out with videos on them.
Oh, yeah. I can't wait for that.
So we're going to be reviewing that, of course. It's kind of like a part two to this. But, I would say we covered everything.
Yeah.
Daniel, would you like to embrace us and what you would like to do next week?
Yeah, we're bringing back a tier list. We're going to do a tier list. We ranked horror movies the one time. This was a long time ago, though, so this kind of needs a refresh because it was one of our early episodes. But we're going to be, and also we're doing a tier list so we can go, because it'll be a little longer one, too. This will be an hour, probably plus. We're going to be ranking horror movie franchises. So if you got two movies or more, you're eligible for the list. So even if it's not even a trilogy, I'm still putting it in the franchise list. Whatever, any horror movie franchise, of course, we'll be tackling Halloween, Friday the 13th, and those two. But also, like, I Know What You Did Last Summer and stuff that didn't do too well.
Urban Legend.
We're going to be ranking them in God, Dear, Very Good, Mediocre, Meh, and Trash. So we'll be talking about the franchises that should have did better, the ones that, you know, are really good that people don't look at enough. It's going to be fun.
And also, guys, on all of our pages, the Snapchat page, the Scaredy Cat Podcast page on Twitter and on Facebook, feel free to suggest stuff for this tier list. Because, I mean, we would love to hear from you guys.
Yeah.
We really would. Like, we're talking about being able to set up a phone line so people can call in and whatnot.
Yeah.
Like, we really want to know what you guys think.
Yeah.
So, if you feel like you got something and it's worthwhile and whatnot, go ahead and suggest it.
Yeah. Oh, yeah.
But other than that, guys, keep it going. Be safe. Make good choices. Sanitize your hands and ka-ka-ka-ka.